Welcome to Ahead of the Curve, the Scoliosis Experience podcast, where my aim is to empower individuals with scoliosis and movement professionals alike by providing free, up-to-date information on scoliosis management and treatment. My goal is to improve the quality of life for those with scoliosis and equip movement professionals with the knowledge and skills needed to effectively support them. Welcome back. This is episode 64 of Ahead of the Curve. Today's topic is, should you be using chiropractic care to treat your scoliosis? This is a loaded question. The worlds of physical therapy and chiropractic care seem to have been at odds with each other for as long as I can remember. Like anything, there are good chiropractors and there are bad chiropractors, just like there are good physical therapists and there are not so great physical therapists. So instead of throwing a whole profession out the window or under the bus, I think what I'd like to do is help you walk through how to determine if the chiropractor you're thinking about working with is good for you and your scoliosis. In order to do that, we're going to walk through four questions together, and I'll explain why these are important questions to be considering when you are trying to determine if this is a good fit. So question one, does your chiropractor have specialized training in scoliosis? So I think this is something that not a lot of people know, but chiropractors are able to get certified in some of the certification specializations for scoliosis, like the Schroth method, the Leon method, CS. So those are things to be looking out for when you are looking for a chiropractor or even just any sort of practitioner to work with you and your scoliosis. And this is an amazing option if you do find somebody that has that training. You should definitely consider working with that person because they also understand scoliosis on a whole nother level. I know that people think that they understand scoliosis, but a lot of times the training that they learn or what they're taught in chiropractic school, even physical therapy school, isn't actually accurate information, isn't correct information. So there's a few things to ask if you're still not sure if this person has specialized training in scoliosis. So I would say one thing that you can ask them is if they're able to explain your curve to you. If somebody has specialized training, I feel like this should automatically happen right off the bat. It's not something that you should have to ask about. So if you do need to ask for them to explain your curve to you, in my mind, I feel like that's a little bit of a red flag or a yellow flag that this individual may not be the right fit for you. So explaining your curve type to you, explaining what your tendencies are. So I guess another way to go about finding out if they're specialized or not would be to ask them if they're able to teach you your autocorrections. So that means your autocorrections are how you're able to bring yourself into more of a neutral alignment. So they should be able to tell you things like, okay, well, your primary curve is located in your right thoracic spine. And that means your weight is getting pulled over onto that right side because it's heavier part of your curve. So you're holding most of the weight over on your right leg. Usually there's some compensations that happen over on that left side, particularly your hips generally will shift off to that left-hand side. So to begin finding your corrections, you would think about drawing your weight a little bit more over onto your left foot or your left leg or your left hip when you're sitting. So little things like that should be included in your assessment or at least within your first few sessions. Question two to ask yourself, do they give you exercises to work on in between your visits? If the practitioner you're working with is only doing hands-on treatment and not giving you any homework to focus on in between your visits, this could indicate that this might not be a good fit for you. Sometimes, yes, initially, especially if you're experiencing a lot of pain and discomfort, they may do some sessions purely with doing hands-on treatment, not having you do any exercises in addition to that, because they want to be able to identify what is helping you and what might not be helping you. So sometimes I even do that if somebody comes into me, they're in an acute level of pain. I may just be doing some hands-on things with them, some breathing, and not having them do any exercises in between. That is very rare because I will at least be giving them some breathing exercises or even their corrections to be working on throughout the day. So if you are in a situation where you're going and you're seeing this practitioner and this is lasting weeks and they're not giving you anything to do in between, you're becoming reliant upon that person to provide you with your cure or fix you. So like if you're going in and you're not feeling the greatest, they do an adjustment or whatever it is that they're doing with you and you feel better, and then you come back in the following week and they're having to repeatedly do that same adjustment each week and it's not holding, that should indicate to the practitioner what they're doing isn't getting to the root of your issue. And or also, you need to be doing something to maintain whatever this correction is giving you the relief. You need to do something to maintain that, to make it hold, so that you're getting that relief for a longer period of time than just 1 week, 2 weeks. So I hope that that makes sense. All right. So in addition to that, this is along the lines of that second question of, are you getting exercises or homework in between your sessions? You should be learning exercises that help to strengthen you within your most neutral alignment. So if you're working with a scoliosis specialist, they should be teaching you how to bring yourself into your neutral alignment, into your auto corrections, and then teaching you exercises to strengthen you within that corrected alignment and that neutral alignment. Question three, I would ask this before they even put their hands on you. I would ask if they are going to be doing high thrust or high velocity thrust mobilizations on your spine. If they're planning on doing that, I recommend not proceeding with treatment with that individual. There are several reasons why we should not be doing high velocity mobilizations or manipulations on somebody who has a scoliosis. The first reason is there's a really high population of people who have osteopenia, osteoporosis within the scoliosis population. And you may not know if you have that or not. And if you have that as an underlying condition and you're going in and you're getting high thrust manipulations done to your spine, that's increasing your risk for fracture. You're already at a little bit of a higher risk for compression fracture if you have osteopenia, osteoporosis, and then you add in those manipulations and not knowing, it kind of sets you up for some undesirable outcomes there. The second reason is there is a high high percentage of people who have hypermobility conditions in addition to their scoliosis. And when you are a hypermobile person, there are ligaments that surround your spine. There are ligaments that surround areas that they would be doing these manipulations. And they're already super mobile. So when you're going in and you're doing the manipulations, it's making those areas that are mobile even more mobile, and that can create more pain, more instability, and more of a likelihood that your curve might actually be progressing. So the other reason is just taking into consideration the nature of scoliosis. The shape of your vertebrae are different than somebody who has a symmetrical spine. So you have a wedge-shaped vertebra and you have uneven loading of the spine. So there's areas that are more compressed. There's areas that are more lengthened and providing like a traction on that side. So when you're going in and you're doing the manipulations, usually the outcome that you are trying to create is not the outcome that is actually created. So there's areas of your curve called your transition zones. So those areas are where you have your curve in the right thoracic. It's curving off to that right-hand side, and then you have a curve in your left lumbar, and it's curving off to the left-hand side. You have this transition zone in between those two areas that is more mobile because it's going from right to left at that area, and that's usually the area where you experience more pain. When you're getting the manipulations done, usually the area that is the most mobile, that transition zone, is the area that ends up mobilizing because the other areas are more stiff and it's very difficult to isolate specifically where you're trying to mobilize. So if you're continuously mobilizing that transition zone, that is another reason that that curve may be more likely to progress if you're continuously going in on a weekly basis and getting yourself manipulated with the high thrust velocity manipulations. Question for the final question here. Do they have a discharge plan in place for you, or do you need to continue to go until the end of time to receive chiropractic care? physical therapists, they are guilty of this as well. So this is just across the board. Again, I'm not trying to throw chiropractic under the bus because, like I said, there are really good chiropractors out there. But this is a sign that you may need to look elsewhere for another practitioner. So you want to make sure that you have an end goal in place. So if you're not better, or if you're not seeing any improvements in X amount of weeks, we're going to revisit, reassess, and change your treatment plan, change what we've been doing, and then, you know, continue on. Also, it's important to be creating goals with your practitioner. So if they're not asking you what your top goals are for working together, you know, that's a little bit of a sign that things might not be quite right. So it's important that you are an active participant in your treatment plan. So creating those goals together, making sure that they are measurable and accessible and they're time-based. So for instance, being able to walk 2 miles without my pain getting more than a 2 out of 10 or 3 out of 10, depending on like what you started at, by 4 weeks from now or 8 weeks from now. So making sure that you guys have an end goal in mind. Now, I do have people that I've seen years on end for their scoliosis, but we're at a maintenance point. We have an understanding that, you know, we have achieved our initial set goals together, and now we are working on maintaining the progress that we made initially while we were working together. So, you know, this person came into me with 8 out of 10 pain, and now they're at like, you know, 1 to 2 on average on a daily basis. So we met those initial goals together, and now we're working on maintaining, or we're working towards higher level activities or higher level goals like rock climbing or being able to hike at a national park with your spouse, things like that. So these are all really important questions to keep in mind when you are considering working with any practitioner, but specifically with a chiropractor. You want to make sure that you're asking yourself or asking your chiropractor these 4 questions. So, 1, do they have specialized training in scoliosis? 2, are they giving you homework in between your visits? 3, are they planning on doing high velocity or high thrust manipulations in your treatment plan? And then 4, do they have a discharge plan in place so that you won't have to be continuing to go until the end of time unless you want to? I hope you enjoyed this episode of Ahead of the Curve. Make sure that you like or give us a star rating, give us a little review, share it with somebody who has scoliosis, or share it with a provider who may not know much about scoliosis. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you. Until next time, stay well and stay ahead of the curve.